Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, and welcome to Everything is Fine, a podcast for women over 40. We're your hosts. I'm Kim France.
And I am Jen Romolini.
And today we've been talking about how uptight we are.
I know, like stealthily uptight, because I don't think the people who don't know me well would think that I'm as uptight as I fucking am. But you were just telling me about, I was talking about how I can't stand all the food is not warm at dinner. And you were saying,
well, I find that the period of time in between when you get your menu at a restaurant and when they take your order, like if that takes longer than it should, I just become a wreck. I can't have conversation. I can't focus on anything. Some people get that way about the check, if it takes too long for the check to come. I'm not that way. If they don't come take my order, and it's kind of, you know, restaurants are one group of businesses that haven't really recovered from COVID. Like every time you go to a restaurant, it's a little janky usually.
It's weird. Well, because I think, and I don't know if this is true, I've done no research into this, but I imagine like I was a waitress for 10 years. And by like year five, I was excellent at it. Nobody waited to get their drink order taken. I knew how long that time amount was. I knew how long it was before you had to greet a table, because if you didn't greet them right away, the whole relationship was doomed, or you were going to have to do a lot of tap dancing. It's really a skill, and the timing of it is a skill, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of people just left those hospitality jobs.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's just so much like new blood. But that drives me, that specific thing, like the waiter has not come over yet, drives me also wild, because I feel like I can't start a conversation. It's not because I'm like some asshole. It's because I'm like, well, until we're going to be interrupted. So if I can't engage with you until I know when that interruption's coming. This is neuroses is what this is. This is neuroses. We got a comment a couple weeks ago that they can't get out of my mind, which is now I was just going to be so self-conscious this whole conversation, which is, it was like, just got bored of EIF. Just got bored of Kim and Jen. And I was like, oh,
where was that?
It was in an exit interview of our Patreon. Someone stopped being a patron and like had to like decided to fill, you get a notification on Patreon if someone has, you know, stopped being a patron. And if they give you like an exit survey, you also get a notification for that. And I check that, you know, fair with some frequency. And especially because if people are asking us questions over there, I want to make sure that I'm answering them. And anyway, I got this and it was just like, yeah, just done with them.
Fair enough.
I know. And I was like, I don't, this is what it is. If you're just bored with it, there's nothing I could do. But now
yeah, there's not a thing. If this is a flavor you don't find appealing, you're not going to find it appealing by listening to it more. No.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like, I'm cilantro. If you don't like it, it's like, you're one of those people. I know. What's tastes another like food? Soap.
Yes. Yes. What's another food like that? Cause that's what I am.
Wait, okay. There's cilantro. And then I don't know. I mean, olives is not as good, but I do feel like half of the world likes olives and half of the world does not like olives.
True.
Do you like olives?
I do like olives.
I do too. But Alex despises olives. Like you can't put don't put an olive near anything. I'm just like, how could you not? First off, you're fucking Greek. But second off, how could you not like this delicious briny food? It never makes sense to me.
Well, there are people who don't like your olives and your anchovies.
Yes.
And
yes.
Your capers. There are people who just don't go for that kind of briny, sour flavor.
Asparagus is another one people are weird about. I'll eat asparagus.
I will buy asparagus and it will rot in my refrigerator. There is asparagus rotting in my refrigerator as I speak.
Here's the thing about asparagus. You cannot prepare it the way the restaurants prepare it. It's just, it always comes out tough for me. It's never correct. I always just chop it and throw it in a stir fry.
That's a good idea. I only like asparagus when they're grilled, and you just got to the very heart of the problem, which is that there is only so effectively I can grill asparagus in my oven.
No, I mean, what are you going to have, a George Foreman just for your asparagus?
No. Oh my God, I saw a movie this weekend I can't stop thinking about.
Oh, tell me about it.
Triangle of Sadness.
Oh, I don't even know what that is, but it sounds like something I relate to.
I don't remember the name of the director. I believe that the director is Swedish. This movie won the Palme d'Or at Cannes.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten some pretty, you know, mixed reviews, but I don't want to give a lot away, but it's about some people on a luxury cruise.
Okay. Okay.
And it's a very, it's a very eat the rich kind of vibe.
Oh, my favorite. My favorite. Yes.
But it is, I give it maybe a 4 out of 5. I don't give it a 5 out of 5, but it is so funny.
Yeah.
It is so funny. And for my money, like what I can never get from, what's the name of that show that just came back on the air that's about rich people at resorts?
Oh, White Lotus.
White Lotus. What I can never quite get for myself from White Lotus, mm-hmm. I feel like I got from this movie.
That's so funny you brought up White Lotus, because I was just going to bring up White Lotus, because White Lotus, the first season of White Lotus was just a dog whistle I did not hear. I just could not.
Everyone me was neither.
Like, I mean, I've had people like straight face, like people I like and respect, say that was the best television I've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
And I'm like, that was not my experience of it. Although I will say, and I don't know if it's just because it's set in Sicily and I'm just so enjoying being in Sicily with these people. I don't know if it's because it's Michael Imperioli, who I really like a lot. And I don't know if it's because there's this character Aubrey Plaza plays that I relate to very much. I am liking this season. I mean, I've only watched like 3 episodes, I think. I am liking this season a lot better than last season. Hmm. And maybe it's because my expectations were so like just at bottom. I was like, oh, I'll try, because everyone's talking about this one like it's genius too. I think they're doing a more effective job this year at showing wealth than they did last year. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the first season just felt to me like, really? That, like, there's so much interesting and smart satire about the rich out there and the divide between the rich, you know, the haves and the have-nots. Like, this is the best we can do. It felt so on the nose to me.
It just felt like caricatures. Like, yeah. Connie Britton as the girl boss. You know what I mean?
Right, right,
like,
right.
It just was very much like the teenagers didn't, nobody felt like they were real people to me. And that's how these people would relate to each other. Not one, like even, what is his name? Jake, whatever his name is, that the couple, the young couple with the rich mom, Molly Shannon, none of them felt real. They just felt very two-dimensional to me. Whereas this season, actually, there are these two wealthy tech couples who have gone, the guys are two wealthy tech executives and then their wives. And Aubrey Plaza plays like a very kind of over everything wife. And the other one is just kind of like perky, you know, whatever. these, for some reason, these couples, they feel like people I understand, I've met, their issues seem real to me so far. I mean, I might disagree with this in like one more half hour of this show, but right now I'm really enjoying it. And also Michael, like I said, Michael Imperioli, is just nice to see him again in something outside of The Sopranos. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Coolidge, you know, I'm actually, Jennifer Coolidge was my favorite part of the first season of White Lotus. And this time I'm like, okay, this is a little, you're dialing her up so far that mm-hmm. you're like losing what she's really good at actually, which is nuance.
Yeah. I just saw the funniest, she was so hilarious in Best in Show.
Oh my God. I haven't seen or thought about that in so long.
She plays like a trophy wife to a man who's like, you know, 90, 100 years old. And she gives that monologue where she's like, people say we don't have a lot in common. We actually have a lot in common. We like soup. We like talking. And we like not talking. We could sit together and not talk or talk for hours. I don't even know why I'm trying to imitate her because she's so fucking funny.
Oh, she is. And she seems like she's... She seems like she's that good in person too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like she just seems, I don't know. I really like her. I am reading, I think, my favorite book of the year, which I probably should save for our best of issue, but I'm going to tell you that it is my fucking, do you ever come upon a book and you're just like surprised and you're like, I can't believe how good this book is. Like you're mad at it because you didn't write it. You're just like everything about it. You're just, it's called, Girls They Write Songs About, and it's by, Carlene Bauer. Mm-hmm. And it is about two friends who work at a music magazine and then in publishing in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh my God, I'm getting chills.
I mean, you'll die. And it's so fucking well done. The writing is so crisp and it's so good. And it's just like, wow, I've never heard that described like that before, but that's exactly how that should be described. I like it so much. I'm reading it and simultaneously listening to it. Because whoever the voice actor is who reads this audiobook is so good that I'm enjoying both experiences.
Wow. Equally.
I know. How exciting, right? Like that never happens.
I'm so excited. I really want to read that book. I wonder what's this woman's background?
You know what? I really should look her up more. I'm too mad at her for writing this book to look her up. Like I can't because you're going to feel the same way. There's going to be a lot of these experiences are going to feel very familiar to you as well, I suspect. I know she worked at Elle, but I don't know where else she worked, but she really describes, they're two really, really close friends, really, really ambitious, trying to make it in their 20s in New York publishing and neither of them wanting kids or to get married, a feminist, you know, fucking everybody and writing and all their ambitions is like going into the writing and also sleeping with men. And it's just like, it's the best. It describes every part of New York, the 10-10 wins of it all, you know, all of it.
Yeah.
And then as the book goes on, it gets into their 30s and one of them starts to want a more conventional life and the other one's kind of left not wanting that. And it's fucking great.
Wow. Well, and also that's sort of what, you know, that is what happens. Friendships in your 20s are very passionate, very, you know, very romantic, you know, even if they're not, you know, just very romantic. And the bond you feel does feel like a real connection in a way that friendships lose some of that. Friendships lose some of that. Even close friendships, even friendships that are really solid, just change as you get older.
And it's, you know, and it's not giving anything away because she gives it away right in the beginning. She says, she starts talking about the character Rose, who's her best friend during this time. And she says something like, she's saying, we. And she says, you know, we are no longer friends, but it gives me comfort to call us we even now.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh God, like all the friendships that just like faded away because they were situational.
They fade away. No, it's true. You worked with someone or you were dating somebody who was good friends with someone. And I mean, I have people in my life who I hear from, you know, I heard from a lot of people when I got engaged And it's very poignant, you know, when you get to that point where someone texts you, congratulates you, whatever, you go back and forth a little bit. Neither of you says anything about getting together, you know, because you've done that. And you know, we all have the friends we can pick up with very easily, but that's not the case with everyone.
No, it's not.
Or with every friendship, you know, they're all, you know.
And, you know, I can be a little overly idealistic about these kinds of things. Like, and I tend to be the one who's like, yeah, let's get together. And then like crickets. But it's like, really, the truth is that relationship is in the past. It is. And you just can't bring it into the present. And that is such a weird feeling, right?
It is a weird feeling, because you can see somebody and still feel all the fondness you ever felt for them and know that you don't, like, the content bearing seal was broken, you know?
Totally.
Like, I just don't have I can talk to this person. We can maybe even talk engagedly, but it's not the same.
I have a really good friend who lived in New York. We lived in New York together at the same time. And we share, this is so corny, but there's like this recipe that is like a foolproof, bring to somebody's house, 2 potato gratin recipe. And I made it first for her and she wanted the recipe. And so we've been sort of going back and forth the years that we knew each other. She would be like, oh, I'm bringing the potatoes, of course. And, you know, whatever. And this year for Thanksgiving, I couldn't find the recipe. Like Epicurious had like taken it down and I was like, fuck, who knows where this recipe is? And I contacted her and I was like, hey, do you have that recipe? And I sent her like a nice email around it. And she knew that it was urgent enough that she texted me right away. She was like, here it is. I'll get back to you on the email later. And she didn't get back to me on the email, but of course we had like, you know, that's it, because there's no friendship in this current life. And that's weird. That's fucking weird. But in the course of looking for the recipe, I looked through messages, emails from 10 years ago, which didn't even feel that long ago, but it's long. 10 is long.
Oh God, time is moving so fast, Romolini. I know it's like the most cliched, you know, like I'm bored of Kim, I'm bored of Jen. Like that would be number one with a bullet, me talking about how fast time is moving. But time is moving fucking fast. It's December.
I know. This year went fast. I mean, I did a lot this year, but I will say this. My child is going to be a teenager next year. Mm. That is wild to me. Also, someone with a child my child's age was telling me that their child, who is going to be 13, has started smoking and smoking pot.
Oh, wow.
I almost passed out. I was like, fuck, man. I'm like barely through this other stage. I can't be handling that shit. I mean, luckily mine seems to currently, knock all the wood, be just dorking out over like old sitcoms right now. And like, you know, but God, I mean, talk about time.
I know. I mean, I was looking at that baby when I went back when we were having Thanksgiving. I was looking at the baby who came to our Thanksgiving and then looking at my nephews, you know, because my nephews are all like, the youngest one is 15. 2 of them are in college.
Yeah.
They're like men. They're like young men.
Yeah.
And they were just like little eensy little shits not that long ago.
Yeah. And like little shits too. Like, you know, like a 10-year-old little shit. And you're like, oh, come on. And now they're like adults. It's crazy. It's like, it's really been a lot. It's been a lot thinking about that kind of stuff. And holidays really bring that up. The holiday season really brings that stuff up, like how different your life is. And I don't know, just constantly reinventing things so that you're not in a rut. Like, okay, well, we don't have to do things the way we always do. Maybe that doesn't work anymore. It's okay to move on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, a lot of things in my life shifted, you know, at a time when I needed them to, when I met Paul, just because there are so many things I do now that are his things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so my life has a different shape in it than it did before.
No, I was thinking, I'm not going to be home for Christmas for the first time since my child was born, because, you know, my child doesn't believe in Santa anymore. And if I want to see my sister, I should be going to her. And now she's across the country and she has little kids. Like, you can't, if you celebrate Christmas, it really fucks them up to be like, oh yeah, we're going to leave the house. Where's Santa going to come? Like, you kind of have to, if you're doing the whole right. Santa thing, you have to stay put. It's just like a, either do it or not. But like, it's hard to be like, oh yeah, Santa knows we're on vacation. Like, it's just like, it's like, you know, whatever.
It's yeah, no, I find the whole Santa thing just hilarious and amazing. I read an interview or read something about how Kristen Bell and her husband just told their kids straight up from the beginning, there is no Santa.
It's so weird.
Just told them. They were like, we're not taking part in this ridiculous charade that there is Santa.
I mean, we did like a half-ass thing of it, you know, because I mean, we kind of did a half-assed thing of it. I was lucky enough to have a really skeptical child who was not, I was not going to have to create a big fantasy for that. Then they would be devastated to find out the truth. Like, Charlotte mm-hmm. would never sit on Santa's lap. Charlotte,
smart Charlotte.
Charlotte was just like, well, and they don't even do that anymore, but you sit next to them. But I just have pictures of Charlotte in the Santa picture, which you do for grandparents if you're whatever. And it's just the guy being like, no, you turn around. And Charlotte being like, I have like 5 seconds with this dude. I'm facing him and having a conversation. So like,
that's just good thinking.
Back to camera.
Hilarious.
So I was never like, I did the Tooth Fairy. I like typed letters in like Comic Sans font. So it looked like, you know, the Tooth Fairy's handwriting. Like I tried to keep up like some fantastical, you know, elements of my child's childhood. But I, in some ways I was fortunate enough to just have a kid who was like, this isn't real. There's no way a fairy comes in and takes my teeth. Like,
yeah, no, I mean, I guess I sound very curmudgeonly because I can understand why it is meaningful to fill a child's life with wonder.
Yes.
And things like Santa and the Tooth Fairy are, you know, things of wonder.
Yes, yes.
And perhaps I would, you know, I would have a different opinion of it if I had actually ever had any children. But I don't know. Christmas just, it's a sucky, I don't hate it when Christmas comes. But I just don't like it very much. I don't like Christmas colors.
Okay. All right. Fine. Okay. What else? We could keep going.
I don't like Christmas lights unless they are monochrome.
Wow.
I think that the colors of Christmas are very tacky and very goyish.
They are. That's the whole point.
I know. But like, I grew up in like Houston, Texas in the 70s, you know, when it was still like, you know, it's a sophisticated city now. It's a little bit of a backwater then.
Yeah.
But like, I grew up in a neighborhood where, you know how you'll see those signs that say like, you know, they have one at the North Pole and it's like Milan, 5,000 miles, yes, New
yes,
York.
Yes, 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 yes.
They had those signs up all over my neighborhood I grew up with in Houston, these wooden signs, but pointing to all the churches in the neighborhood.
Wow. Okay.
Like, I grew up in a place that just assumed.
Right.
We don't have to talk about this any longer, though, because I have other topics I want to go to.
Go ahead. I don't.
One of which was something you said on a recent episode about how Ray Bradbury said you should read one essay, one short story, and a poem every night. And your brain will be filled.
For 1,000 nights. Yes.
For 1,000 nights. And your brain will be full and brimming mm-hmm. with ideas.
Yes.
And, you know, short stories, that's easy for me to do. And essays, I can figure those out. But poetry, you know, poetry, which is something I have a little bit of a mental block about because my former husband was a poet and really an irritatingly poet. And I don't like poetry all the time because I find it, you know, the purposeful obtuseness of it very frustrating.
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
There are some poets I like. Like, I do like Gerald Stern, who recently died, and Mary Oliver has beautiful poems. But I was thinking I would put it to our listeners mm-hmm. to suggest some poems and some poets, rather,
yeah.
that you like.
Yeah, I mean, I similarly struggle with poetry, but then when I find something, I'm like, oh, like I love Adrienne Rich, you know, I like mm-hmm. I like Raymond Carver's poetry a lot.
Yeah,
there's some people that I like, but yeah, I don't even know. Actually, there was the other day I saved the Times the Times Book Review, because there was, and I don't know where it is in my office, that is actually a fucking hoarder's nest. But I saved the book review because there was a poetry collection I wanted to read. And that was the thing I wanted to do. And it's just in this hoard somewhere. I don't know. No, that is interesting. And also, we're going to have a books episode coming up. And maybe we can talk about poetry a little bit there. We're also going to do a best of roundup. So, you know, hold on to your hats, everybody. We're going to do a best of the year roundup.
Yes, very exciting.
Let's take a quick break from some ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And we're back. I've been thinking about something that is not, we've been just talking about all kinds of heavy things. I'm going to talk about something frivolous. Holiday party outfits. What the fuck?
Okay, I'm going to give you my secret.
Yes, go.
Which I put it on Girls of a Certain Age every year. I do a post called A Party in a Top.
Okay.
And the reason I do this post is that I discovered some years ago that if you go to a crowded holiday party, or any crowded party really, all anybody sees of you is you from the waist up.
Okay.
So all you really have to worry about is a really good top.
Okay. Fair fuck enough. But that suggests that you have a bottom. You can't be naked on the bottom.
No, but you can make the bottom pretty straightforward, depending on how fancy the party is. It can be jeans. It can be like skinny black pants. It can be a skirt.
Sure. But you need to have that. You need to own that piece that fits you. Like, I had a friend text me this morning and she was like, you know, SOS, I have a wedding to go to in 3 days. I thought my fancy clothes still fit me. Like, there's some weird dress code for the wedding that it's not black tie, it's semi-formal, but also that it's in Mexico and they want everybody to be dressed in bright colors. And it's just like all these requirements. And she was like, I thought I had it, but none of my fancy clothes fit me anymore because, you know, this is just what happens. Because even if you're the same size, it's everything's in a different spot, you know?
Yes, so it's true.
Like, so anyway, I happen to have like a red silk jumpsuit that is going to, I think, work for her. But the idea that you just have in your closet, just waiting for you, this staple, this pair of black pants, this skirt, this whatever it is, a lot of us don't have that anymore post-pandemic. Like, yeah, I don't know if I have like a decent pair of like, you know, nice black pants. I mean, I know I don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't.
I don't either.
And that's kind of a thing you need to pull off anything we're suggesting, you know, or like a very nice pair of jeans.
Yeah.
I found I wore, I was like, oh God, what am I even going to wear to Thanksgiving? I don't know. And I found I had this Samantha Pleat silk black jumpsuit that I've been talking about. And it was its maiden voyage. And I had like a gold chain link belt that I found that's kind of like stretchy, and that made the outfit. And I wore it with a pair of patent leather loafers. And I was like, if I get invited to anything else, which that's the other thing, it's not like I'm getting invited to a million things, but if I get invited to anything, this can work. This can be dressed up and down. But it's,
yeah,
I think black silk really is kind of sophisticated and sexy. Like black silk blouses are really nice, you know, even with a little shininess. I like that for yep. holidays. But it's not what it once was, is what I'm saying.
What once was?
The holiday dressing. I feel like it was just like sexy and fun and sequins and blah. I feel like I had an easier time. Here's a feather. Like it was just like, now it's like, well, what is the party look that's not matronly?
Well, it's hard. When you're young, you're like, oh my God, that's a fun and sexy top. I'm going to wear that fun and sexy top. And then you get a little older and it's like, oh yeah, the fun and sexy top no longer hangs on me the way it used to.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very hard to know what, I mean, I end up feeling like all I'm doing is creating a big, like creating an outfit that allows me to disappear.
Yeah. Wait, tell me more about that.
Not that allows me to disappear, but that does not say, ooh, look at Kim.
Right, right. Okay.
You know, it's like nothing to see here. Just a 58-year-old lady in big glasses.
No, this is not acceptable. I reject this notion. Equally though, the fancy things that looked cute when I was young look fucking like mother of the bride now.
I mean, this has been on my mind a lot lately because I think I'm overdue for another closet edit.
Okay.
And, you know, I have things like that still in my closet. They're just like, they don't fit.
Right.
Or they don't look the way they used to look.
Right.
And I don't know how to dress for a party now.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I just wear a button down, and I do have a lot of silk tops that I do like wearing in the winter because I think they're a good layer for the winter. Mm-hmm. And if I put on a silk top with jeans, I think about it when I'm like on tour with the kids and they're putting on their amazing outfits to go on stage, and I'm not going on stage, but I'm like in a button down and a pair of pants every day.
No, and I tried to buy, you know, I was talking about those silver lame pants. I bought a pair from Anthropology that somebody actually had found and sourced on our Facebook group. And I was like, oh, great, that seems right. And I took them out of the bag, they came, and it was so fucked up because things just fit me weird now, right? So these pants were both too tight and too small at the same time. It was like, they hugged every sort of lump on the side of my thigh, which fine, who cares, but in an unflattering way, really tight, but then were kind of baggy on the waist and the butt. They were just like a pants catastrophe. It was like so disappointing because I was like, this is going to be it. This is going to solve so many problems, but no.
Well, it was a very tall order, Romolini, lame pants. And I think that like... if something is going to be lamé, it has to be on a certain kind of fabric that doesn't lend itself to pants.
You might be correct, man.
I'm making this up, but it sounds right.
You might be right. I will just tell you that I put these on and it was so horrifying because it also, the waist was really tight. The waist was really high, like right under your ribs and really tight. So it was also a thing of like that they were uncomfortable, but then baggy. It was just fucking everything. Like I couldn't wait to return them. I was just like, oh my God, just get out of my house.
Just get it off my body. Get it out.
Get it out of here. I never want to see it again. Anyway, we have a lot of listener questions, though, if you want to do that.
Let's do them. Okay. Let's do them. It's that time.
Okay. What is the last thing that made you cry laugh?
I can't remember what the last thing that made me cry laugh was, but I'm certain that it was my brother Mike who made me cry laugh because he's the one person who can reliably do that.
Mine, similarly, I think this was the last time I cry laughed. My sister and I were in a restaurant and we were ordering dessert. And we were like, oh, should we get the really decadent thing? Should we get this thing? Should we get this thing? And we ordered like the healthy thing. I don't even remember what it was, to be honest, but it was like a healthy tart or something. Uh-huh. And we each took a bite of it and it was so inedibly disgusting. that we just like looked at each other and started laughing so hard. We just could not stop crying. And then we were like, should we take another bite? Is it us? And it was it was like so revolting. We couldn't believe someone had served it to us. And I mean, I'm laughing, crying, just thinking about it. I think this was 2 years ago. Like, I still can't.
That's hilarious.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. Next question. What is your go-to gift that you send to people who you are obligated to acknowledge, but you also don't care much about over the holidays?
Well, an upside to being a Jew is that you don't have to deal with much of that.
Okay.
But I do, but there are certain gifts that I go to for people.
Yes, me too.
I like those. Comme des Garçons makes little pouches, like wallet size pouches that come in really handy to have in your bag. And it's like, you know, a designer thing, but you can get them for around $100, a little bit less for some of them. So that's a good one. I'm a believer in sending someone a plant.
Nice, nice.
You know, if they're a plant person, they'll be happy. If they're not a plant person, it'll just live a slightly shorter life and still be. It's very hard though. Gifts are so hard.
I love gifts.
Well, you're an excellent gift giver. You were an excellent and thoughtful gift giver.
Well, it's only because when I hear somebody, because I love buying things. And so when I hear somebody say something, I'm like, oh, I could get them that. And then I write it down. Like I like giving gifts, but Sephora gift cards, I feel, because they just come into your inbox. It's just easy. Who doesn't want a $50 gift card to Sephora?
True.
I mean, most women want a gift card to Sephora. That's one. A little bit fancier. I similarly do the Claire V pouches. Claire V is the same as the Comme des Garçons, and you can get them with the initials on it, and that's right. You know, monogrammed. And so that's really nice. There's these fancy pairs. Sounds so stupid, but there's this company that makes fancy pears, and I'll look it up and put it in the show notes. They're fucking delicious, these pears. And every year, Alex's dad gets us these pears. And at first I was like, I can't believe your dad gives you pears. But they're actually really, really good. And I've given those to people, like just this very delicious, like little case of pears. It's like a nice thing to get. It's not something you think of.
I think a food gift is a thoughtful gift.
Yeah. Olive oil, really expensive olive oil, which is not actually that expensive, is also an excellent gift, I think. Mm-hmm. That's my sort of arsenal. But like when I was the boss of when I worked for women's websites and I had a staff that was all women, I gave Sephora gift cards because it's just, you can't kind of go wrong and it doesn't have to be that much money.
It's hilarious to think about now, but we used to give $100 Barney's gift cards to everyone at Lucky.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. I remember that. God, the Condé Nast gifts were good. Those like weird gifts. They were actually good. Like the ashtray.
The gifts the company gifts. Yes. And that tote bag. I still see that tote bag sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I still use that designer ashtray for weed. But I still do use it. Okay. What prompted Jen's move to LA in the first place? Was it for work? All right. I'll answer that. My husband got a job at Grantland, if anybody remembers Grantland. And he and I, when we first got together, had kind of agreed on two things. He didn't want children, but he was open to having children. And I didn't want to move to Los Angeles, but I told him I would be open to moving to Los Angeles. And I don't think either of us were really telling the truth. And then sort of the roosters came home to roost. And it was like, we had a kid and Alex was like, I have this job. We can move to LA. And I was like, okay, we'll try it for 2 years. That was his contract. And at that point, I knew that it would be harder to move back to New York with like a 4-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I knew that life was easier out here. And so we stayed. And that's the story of that. I mean, it was also a thing of like, we got kicked out of our rent-controlled apartment in Brooklyn that we had been in for years. That was like a block away from Prospect Park and beautiful. And it was like a floor through of a brownstone. And the lady sold the building like 2 months into Charlotte being born.
Oh.
And we had to, and we were paying $1,600 a month.
Amazing.
And we had to go up to $4,000 a month, I think, because we needed 3 bedrooms. And so it was just like, and we didn't like the apartment. And it was just, you know, it was like, okay, well, are we going to move further into Brooklyn? Are we going to move to Jersey? And then it was like, okay, well, you got this job at Grantland. And Grantland was a big, you know, it was a big
deal.
Popular. It was a big deal. And so we did it. There's more on here.
Kim has mentioned she had breast cancer. Would she be willing to talk about it? Should I answer that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I went for my baseline mammogram at 39 years old. I thought it was time to go do that. And they found something. It was very, very small, minuscule, stage one. I was super fortunate. I had a lumpectomy. I had radiation. And that was my cancer journey. I got super, super fortunate. I'm actually very nervous. I have a mammogram tomorrow. No fun.
Mammograms are no fun. And I'm just like, I still can't believe that we have to do them. Every time I get one, and it's fast, but it's like, every time I get one, I'm just like, I mean, I know a million lady comedians have said this, or men. I can't believe that, like, imagine if men had to get their nuts squashed.
No, it wouldn't happen.
It wouldn't happen. They would come up with a better way to do it.
No, the fact that they haven't come up with a better way to do it is kind of shocking, because it does feel, I mean, the first time you ever get it done, it's like, this is barbaric.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Jen's mentioned a few times that she's overloaded with work on projects that will wrap up in the next month or so, God willing. Yes. I'm also coming off a very intense period of work. And I would love to hear how you both manage transition times in your career, and quite specifically what you do in those first few days and weeks of unstructured time after so much intensity. I want to get better at this part of having an episodic creative career.
I mean, I feel like if I think about like what I did after getting fired from Lucky, that was a very, you know, intense period. And then, I mean, I think this poster is talking about briefer cycles, but I did nothing. I did nothing. I knew what I needed at the end of that was real rest.
Yeah.
The trick is to give yourself rest, but remain engaged, I think.
I think that you're exactly right about that. I think that that is precisely correct, because unfortunately, in the world that we're in right now, we don't actually get, if you're a freelancer, you kind of always have to be thinking into the future. You always need to be thinking, well, what am I going to do after this? Because if not, you unless you can really afford to have huge lulls in not working, which I can't, you're always kind of having to think a little bit of the future. And I also think that while I definitely will have some time of rest during this, after I finish these projects, there's also a bit of momentum, creative mm-hmm. momentum. Like I kind mm-hmm. of know what I want to work on next. And I've created a runway for myself by setting up some projects that make me money, but that aren't as creatively taxing as what I'm currently doing. So I don't want to lose the creative momentum I have. Like, it's like, if you don't write for 4 months, getting back on the horse of writing is really, really hard.
It's really hard.
It's, yeah, you forget. It seems harder than it is. It's just like you're just cold and stiff. And I don't want to be any of those things. So my plan, because I've actually been thinking about this a lot of time with friends, a lot of time talking to people, like getting myself like socially lubricated again, because mm-hmm. I do feel like such a fucking freak because I've been working so much. So that, like, some, like, you know, I'll probably go to the Wii Spa in Los Angeles at least one time during the day, if not two or more, maybe some drug experiences. I don't know. A lot of reading. Like a lot of things that are like nurturing and fulfilling for me mm-hmm. that will start to give me some spaciousness so that I can use my brain again so it's not so fried, but not spend so much time that I'm scared to pick it up again.
Yep, yep.
Thanks for listening to Everything is Fine. We are your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim France.
If you like the show, please rate and review it on all the platforms. Apple Podcasts particularly really helps people find the show. If you want to support the production of the show, we are on Patreon at patreon.com/everythingisfine. We also have merch. You can get merch at TeePublic, and that is in our show notes. We have hoodies and t-shirts and totes and phone cases and so much more. If you want to follow us on Instagram, we're at EIF Podcast. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook with a private Facebook group. You can follow Kim on her blog, girlsofacertainage.com. You can find me on tinyletter.com/Jennifer Romolini. You can email us at everythingisfinethepodcast@gmail.com. And the show is mixed and edited by the wonderful Natalie Rivera. Thank you, Natalie. And we'll talk next week.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.